So we're reading from Luke chapter 2, and we're starting at verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told.
Heavenly Father, as we think about this Christmas season and your word, we pray that your spirit would be upon our next section of church. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, a number of years ago, there was a bishop who didn't know what to do with me. So he sent me off to Canterbury in England, not the Canterbury next to Bankstown, the other one, for some further education. So all the family, and the kids were 5, 7 and 9, trooped over there for 12 months. And one of my strongest memories of the time was the first day of the English school summer holidays. So the exact equivalent of this weekend, but in July, if you get the idea. Exact equivalent. And it was a perfect English summer's day. The sun was shining. Everything was good. And Annabelle and I and our three children were sitting out in the garden. And Annabelle and I looked at each other and we felt totally relaxed. And for a while we're trying to work out why on the first day of a summer school holidays we'd never ever in our lives felt relaxed before, the way we were totally relaxed on this occasion. And then it hit us. There was no Christmas coming within a few days. We actually had 6 uninterrupted weeks to look forward to, and nothing was going to interrupt that like Christmas. So you could actually relax from day one of the school holidays. Well, this led me to thinking, imagine there was no Christmas. Which led me to imagining there were not other things. And actually, this week marks 45 years since the death of John Lennon, one of the Beatles. And not long before he died, of course, he wrote the song Imagine. And in that song, he didn't imagine no Christmas, but he imagined all sorts of things. And he was trying to imagine a perfect world. This is the way John Lennon expressed it. John Lennon said, "Imagine there's no heaven, no religion too." John Lennon thought, just before he was gunned down, that this would be a better place without any idea of heaven getting in the way or any religion. And I imagined if there was no religion, then I guess by definition there would be no Christmas, getting back to where I started, for after all it is a religious festival. And this led me to thinking what the world would be like without Christmas. And a world without Christmas, as I thought about it, had some positives and some negatives. Positively, no Christmas would mean we probably all had more money, because we wouldn't have spent money on all the presents and food at this time of year. But negatively, the profits for all the major retail chains would go down over the year. So if you've got shares in then, not so good. Positively, we wouldn't eat as much for several weeks at that time of the year, and so we wouldn't have to spend January worrying about losing the weight that we'd put on over Christmas. Negatively, we would miss out on the pleasure which comes with many of our Christmas gatherings. It may be the only time in the year, if you're at work, that your boss ever buys you a drink type thing. Positively, it would make December more peaceful, no Christmas. Negatively, it might mean that the only time your family ever got together was for a funeral. But what actually is this Christmas that I'm imagining doesn't exist? Well, of course, it's the celebration of Jesus' birth. It's Jesus' birthday. And we can't give him presents, so we give them to each other. So then, if Jesus doesn't have a birthday, because there's no Christmas, then he doesn't have a birth. And if Jesus doesn't have a birth, then by definition he never existed. So no Christmas actually means no Jesus. Jesus, who Christians claim to be none other than God himself. No Christmas means that God never entered our world. Now, no other religion of our age believes God entered our world. Muslims, for example, believe that Jesus was the second greatest prophet that this world has ever had, but not God. Whereas Christians claim that at the first Christmas, God entered our world. No Christmas means God didn't do that. And if God didn't enter our world, then actually it makes a difference. For we like pretending this world is a good place, and for brief periods it is. It is. But actually, I think God entering the world has had a big impact on that. But actually, there's times like the last week when we can actually see the evil is really like. And interestingly, what happened last week was not taking place in Sudan or the Congo or Gaza, where we hear all about this. In a sense, what was happening there has come to us, to our Bondi Beach. It was awful. But if there was no Christmas, then actually our world is stuck like this. So to imagine that there is no Christmas is to imagine that our world is stuck in a mess and there is no way out. C.S. Lewis was a Christian author who wrote the Narnia series, and probably the most famous of the Narnia books is the great story, The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. In that story, a witch puts a spell on Narnia, and the spell is that it's always winter but never Christmas. Always winter but never Christmas. Now, actually, winter in Australia is not too bad, at least in Newcastle. You know, we have nice days. It can even get over 20 degrees and things like that. But C.S. Lewis meant a miserable English winter of constant cold and drizzle. I don't think we even see that on British TV series. I suspect they're all set in midsummer, not just Midsummer Murders, but they're all filmed in the middle of summer because it always seems to be sunny. Always winter and never Christmas. C.S. Lewis's idea was always bad with nothing good to break into it. Always winter and never Christmas. But in contrast to what I've been saying, we're told in the Bible from start to finish that there was a Christmas. In fact, a Christmas was always planned, and it did center on God becoming one of us. In the screen is a quote from the Bible. It's from the letter of Paul to the Titus. Speaking of Christmas, Paul wrote, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all people. Jesus had come with a message of love and grace." And what difference does that message make? Two huge things. Firstly, there is a difference now, according to Paul, because of Christmas. Next verse says, that event teaches us, the whole coming of Jesus and every change that he's made teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age. Because of Christmas, God came into our world, and by his death and resurrection, he's provided the power to live different lives in our world, to be focused on love and not on self. Our world is focused on self. Without Christmas, that's all there can be. But Jesus came to transform us. But secondly, Christmas gives us the hope for a better world. The reading goes on. While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Friends, because of Christmas, we have the hope of a better world, a hope of a world of peace, a hope of a world where there will be no poverty, a hope of a world where there will only be love, a world that will be brought in when God, who came at the first Christmas, comes back again. Friends, John Lennon sadly could not have got it more wrong. What our world's needs is for us to imagine what it'd be like when there's nothing but heaven. Nothing but heaven. During the Second World War, as you know, in Europe, there were a number of prisoner of war camps. And there was one camp where the prisoners had managed to smuggle into the camp a small transistor radio, and the German guards had no idea that they had it. And each night they were able to turn this on and listen to what was going on in the world in other places. And so they'd listen each night, and they could hear from Allied broadcasts that things were going well for their soldiers. Then one night, listening to the radio, they heard the news they'd been hoping for. They heard that the German high command had surrendered. Immediately, the prisoners' entire view of everything changed. It was another 3 days before they were actually freed from their prison. But for those 3 days, even though they were still prisoners, they lived completely as freed men, still in prison, for they knew their freedom was assured. Friends, because God has entered our world, because of Christmas, we can know for certain that freedom is assured, that there is a certainty of heaven, that you can imagine there is a heaven. We've heard the message already. God has come into our world and he's promised freedom that comes through that because of Christmas. That we should be free people serving the God who will shortly come again to this world and bring its final freedom. Friends, our hope as Christians is actually for a world where it's never winter. And always Christmas in that God's Son is always with us. Never winter and almost Christmas. Let me pray. Our great God and Father, we praise you and thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, at Christmas. And we pray particularly that this Christmas, that would be our remembrance as we look forward to the day when we don't celebrate your birth, but your being with us forever in the heaven, the new home of righteousness that you create. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.